God with us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much. As you can see, Mark's not here, and I'm given the privilege to bring the word this morning. So I thank you all for coming and giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you. We know that Mark and his family are having fun at Mahaffey Camp this week, serving up milkshakes, from what I understand. If you have your Bible this morning, our text will be out of the book of Hebrews. First chapter, just a few verses, verses 1 through 4. And I would encourage you to bring your Bibles. I know Mark has encouraged us all to bring our Bibles to church. I was taught that the Bible is the Christian's toolbox. You know, everything we need to live a Christian life, we're going to learn in the Word of God. Just as a mechanic goes to the shop and has his wrenches and his tools to do the repairs properly, or the construction worker like myself has his tool belt and his hammer to get the work done properly, we should be armed with the Word of God, especially when we come to church. Amen? Amen. I recently heard a story about a senior professor at a Bible Institute teaching a fresh class of ministry students. And he was teaching the young class that every time they approach the pulpit, they need to approach it with humility and be humble when they preach the word and present their message. And the best way to be humbled is to ask the congregation what he preached on last week. So, bada boom, did you get it? I'm not going to ask you what I preached on last time I preached. That was a few weeks ago, but, well, I thought it was funny. Hebrews, first chapter, verse 1 through 4. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than them. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we ask that you help us understand your word this morning and what you're speaking to us through these few verses in Hebrews, Lord. Lord, we desire to draw closer to you and to be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So I just pray that you would clear our minds, allow us to just be at peace right now, and listen to your voice as we study your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled my message this morning, What's the Big Deal About Jesus? What's the big deal about Jesus? We live in a world where there is both prosperity and persecution. However, we live in a blessed land where we are free to believe however we choose to. There are many around the world, however, who live under the threat of persecution if they choose to believe in Jesus Christ. Some are threatened with bodily harm, torture. Some are threatened with disownment from their families. And some are threatened with financial ruin just for the fact of believing in Jesus Christ. So what is the big deal about Jesus? Fortunately, we live in a land that is free, and we are free to choose to worship however we choose to. And we need to thank God for that. Amen? However, this freedom comes with a strong responsibility for those of us who believe to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. It's not just a coincidence. It's just not something that, oh, wow, that's nice that happened, that God blessed this land with the freedoms we have. I believe God ordained the men that settled this land, the pilgrims that came searching for religious freedom, and then our founding fathers who established our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I believe God ordained and blessed that whole scenario, that this country would be a lighthouse in the whole world. Amen? But with this freedom that we've been given comes great responsibility. And we can take the command that Jesus commanded us, the Great Commission, to go in all the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We are so blessed in this country. We have the freedom of free press. We have the ability to print and distribute Bibles throughout the world. We have Bible study groups. We have church services. We have the gospel on television and radio. Some of us like to watch the 700 Club. Some of us. We can listen to our favorite preachers on our podcasts, on our iPhones and computers. How unbelievably blessed are we? But with that responsibility, with that blessing, comes such a great responsibility. Let's not take this freedom for granted. Because we are free in this country, everyone else in America is free as well. Let me say that again. Listen to what I'm saying there. Because we are free in this country, everyone else in the country is free as well. God hasn't called us to condemn or judge those that don't believe. But He's actually called us to love them and to be a witness of His, so that they can receive the same gift of salvation as we have received. But my caution to us is directed exactly to why the letter of Hebrews was written. There are so many voices around us in this free land. So many have fallen away from the faith, deceived by the lies of the enemy, thinking that there's something better for them, thinking that Jesus isn't all there is. There's so many voices around us shouting out, I know the way to heaven. I know a better way to heaven. Why can't we all coexist? Or I'm sure you've all heard this one. Why are you so narrow-minded to say that there's only one way to God? This is exactly what was happening with the first century church. The Christians received Jesus as their Messiah. These Jews that were converted to Christianity found the truth in the Messiah, Jesus. They believed that He was who He says He was, the Christ, sent by God. However, after time, persecutions rose up, and they were suffering greatly under the persecution of the Jewish leaders that they were choosing to leave behind to follow Christ. And after time, more and more and more of these converted Jews were falling away and turning back to the burden of the law. So many of us today are listening to voices on the television, on the radio, in the news, misleading us, deceiving us, to think that there possibly could be more than just following Jesus. So what is the big deal about Jesus? What is the big deal about Jesus? Is He really worth giving all of our lives to? And I would say yes, He is worth it. And the writer of Hebrews says yes, He is worth it. So many voices around us are denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. So many say, Jesus was a good man. Some even say, yes, he was a prophet with a message. And so many religions around us are calling for our attention. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us about our own heart. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? You've heard many people say, and possibly even you said it, you faced a tough situation, you needed to make a decision in your life, and you said, I just went with what my heart felt like I should do. I went with the feeling in my heart. My heart told me I should do this. My heart told me that I should date this person. Bad decision. My heart told me I should give my money to that person. My heart told me. But Jeremiah is telling us, our heart, even our own heart, is deceitful and wicked and will deceive us. And Jesus didn't come to say, follow your heart in the decisions you make in your life. He actually said, deny yourself and follow me. And I will lead you to rivers of living water. I will give you life and life more abundantly. Is Jesus really worth it? Or do we want to follow our own heart because we think our heart knows better? Important thing to think about. The first century church was under much of the same persecution and warfare as we're experiencing, only in a different fashion. They were returning to the law. Because if they would just return to the law and participate in the synagogue's rituals and just blend back in with their way of worship, the persecution would stop. It would get easier. But for them to do that would mean turning their back on their Messiah, on their Savior. So many of us today are experiencing that same temptation. Even we've seen our loved ones fall away. We've seen friends that you never thought would leave the faith have left the faith. For what? They're following their own heart. They're being deceived, not even necessarily by the enemy, but by their own wicked heart. And Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will give you life. The author of Hebrews wants to urge the people to go all the way with Jesus. He's worth it. Run the race that's set before you. Go all the way. Don't look back. But so many of the Jewish believers were doing exactly that. They were turning back to the burdens of the law rather than continuing on in the freedom in Christ. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, for the Lord said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Jesus will never leave you stranded high and dry. He will never turn his back on you. He will always be there for you. So don't be deceived by the world or by your own heart. Keep your eyes set on the one who saved you and set you free. Amen? Now, the letter was written, as we spoke earlier, to Jewish converts to Christianity. They came to faith in Jesus and believed he was the Messiah and their Savior. But after much suffering and persecution, they were returning back to the law. As they saw their families being tortured, as they saw their friends departing the faith due to suffering, they thought that following Jesus, their Messiah, was going to be easy. They thought Jesus was going to be a king on earth. They thought they were going to be part of a movement that would rule on this earth now. But instead, they found themselves being persecuted and tortured and disowned and ridiculed and forced into poverty for the simple fact of following Christ as their Savior. However, when things got hard, many of these returned, like I said, to the law rather than standing firm in their faith in Christ. The author of Hebrews has one basic message, and that message is, don't give up. Christ is better. Go all the way with Jesus. And the message of faith is dominant in this letter. Hebrews also is a very difficult type of book in all the Bible. Biblical scholar William Barclay calls it the most difficult book in all the New Testament, but also the most rewarding book in the whole Bible. We're not sure who wrote Hebrews. Some scholars think it was Apollos. Some think it was Paul, possibly Luke. We just don't know. But what we do know is it came out of the apostolic community and was regarded as an authoritative book for the early church from the very beginning. We do know that it was written by one of the apostles in the very early stages of the church, and that the church held this letter dear as an authority in encouraging each other in the faith. So as we look at verse 1, it begins simply by saying, God. The writer of Hebrews is trying to convince, to reassure these believers that are wavering of staying with Christ or to turning away. The author of Hebrews is proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is. Unlike all the other letters in Scripture, this one just starts out simply explaining the topic that they're trying to express, and that is who Jesus is. So it starts with God. Think about all the ways God spoke in the Old Testament. He revealed himself through visions, dreams. He delivered messages through angels. He spoke in an audible voice. He spoke through a burning bush. He wrote on walls, and he even spoke through a donkey. God spoke many different ways in the Old Testament. However, in verse 2, the writer explains, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And not just by his Son, in his Son. The previous prophets of the Old Testament spoke God's word, but Jesus is the word. Amen. John 1:14. Jesus is the word of God. He is the perfect embodiment of the Father. The prophets spoke God's word that was given to them, but Jesus was the very word in the flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, as we read God's word, I'd like you to look at the whole context of God's word in three acts, like a play. The first act is creation and the fall of man. The second act is Israel and the law and the prophets. But the third act is Jesus. Amen? This is a very important point as we study the Scripture. Jesus is the final act in God's plan of salvation. There is no one else coming after Jesus to redeem man. Jesus has come once and for all to redeem man from their sins. There's no one to turn back to receive salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And this is the very point that the author of Hebrews is trying to make to these followers of Christ that are wavering in their faith. There is no one to turn back to. Jesus fulfilled the law. And by fulfilling the law, gave us freedom and eternal life to live an abundant life with Him. And because Jesus is the final act of salvation in God's plan of salvation, there is no one else coming after Jesus. So if anybody says that there's another way, there's another prophet coming, that's a lie from the enemy. That is a deceitfulness from the enemy to get you to get your eyes off of Jesus. What is the big deal about Jesus? The big deal is Jesus is God. Jesus is the way. There's no other way but Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and to receive eternal life. The author of Hebrews paints a picture of Jesus in a profound way. Jesus is seen as the obedient son, as we read. He's the suffering servant, the faithful and merciful high priest, the author and finisher of our faith, and the victorious and exalted mediator of the new covenant. The believers of the day, as well as believers of today, are called to keep him as the center of their attention. Jesus, and only Jesus, is the Savior of the world. Is Jesus the center of your attention? What is your life consumed with? Is Jesus the center of your attention? Are you following your heart, or are you following Jesus? The writer of Hebrews is calling out to us, keep Jesus the center of your affections, of your attention. Keep your eyes on the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And further on in Hebrews, as you would read, chapter 12 tells us about this Jesus and encourages us, the believer, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because what he did on the cross for you and for me and the whole world by despising the shame that came along with it and enduring the pain that he suffered, he became the perfect, spotless Lamb of God and fulfilled God's purpose of his final act of salvation of man. There is no one else to forgive your sin, no one else to give you eternal life, no one else to give you abundant life. But Jesus, and only Jesus, is the one that can do that. What is the big deal about Jesus? Jesus is everything. Jesus is Lord. The answer to every doubt, every fear and question is to look upon the Lord Jesus. Maybe some of you here this morning are doubting. You came in here and you hear me preaching, Jesus, 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 what's the big deal? But Jesus is alive. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you are straying, or if you are following your heart, Jesus is crying out to you, come back to me. Be refreshed in my presence. Allow me to lead you to the rivers of living water. And be restored to a right relationship with your Savior. There's no one coming after him. Jesus is the one. Maybe you are questioning whether Jesus is really worth it. By looking at Jesus through the lens of Hebrews, you can be convinced he is worth going all the way with him. You can find the treasure of knowing that Christ is immeasurably more than anything else that you could seek after. And when you realize, just as these early church followers of Christ were discovering that there was nothing else to seek after, the law did not provide the salvation and the forgiveness of sin as Jesus did. They were actually taking their eyes off of that and looking to protect their own bodily self to get away from the persecution. And so many of us today are living a lukewarm Christian life. We don't want to be harassed by our friends and our coworkers. We don't want to be harassed by our families. How can you follow Jesus when there's so much more to live for? We live in a society now, even though we have all the conveniences of knowledge through the internet. Anything you want to know, you can Google. The enemy can deceive your heart to think, I don't need faith. Any question I have, all I have to do is find it on the internet. But even God is deeper and greater than the internet. God is so much more than any knowledge we can acquire here in this earthly tent. Amen? Think about the solar system. And I am not a scientist by any means. I'm a carpenter. But I can remember as a kid going outside summertime this time of year and just playing outside and the fireflies and looking up at the sky and seeing the stars and just being amazed, like not even being able to comprehend how far away they are. And as we learn from science and astrologers, that those stars that we see, they could very possibly be, some say that they're each suns in their own solar system. I can't even comprehend that. But the Bible tells us that God created it all. But not only God created it all, Hebrews tells us that Jesus created it all. And that Jesus holds it all together in his hands. That is amazing. And Hebrews tells us in our scripture reading that he is the very radiance of God, the very radiance of the glory of God. And another thing that just blows my mind about our solar system is the sun. Forgive me if there's people out there that know more than me about it, but the way I understand it, the sun actually creates fuel that it burns up so it continues to burn. Like, who could do that except God? You put gas in your car burns it up, and then you're stuck. You're out of gas. But the sun is constantly, the atoms are constantly colliding against each other, blowing up, creating fuel for the sun to be what the sun is, continually burning with heat and light and radiance. Only God, a marvelous God that loves you and loves me, can create such a marvelous creation. But above all that marvelous creation that was created for us to enjoy, he created you and you and you and you and you. And he created your heart. He understands your heart, for he created it. And he loves you so much. That's why he came to the earth, to set you free from the very sin that entangles you. There's nothing to look back to. Jesus paid it all. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly because he loves you and loves me. What a marvelous message of love. And so many of us in this world struggle with that very concept of love. I mean, there's voices in what is love? Is love just emotion? Is love just caring for another person? Love is so much more than that. Love is completely embodied in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is completely embodied in God the Father. Hebrews tells us that He is the very radiance, the light beaming as the sun beams light. Jesus is the light beaming from the nature of the Father. So when we see Jesus, we see the very nature of God. That's wonderful. Jesus isn't just a man. Jesus isn't just a prophet. Jesus isn't just a little higher than the angels. But Jesus is God in the flesh. The very Word that spoke creation into existence became flesh and dwelt among us to love you, to win you back to Him, to tell you there's nothing else to chase after. Chase after me. Follow me. Allow me to fulfill you. For I created you for a purpose. And that purpose is to love Him and to love each other. All the law that the Jewish rulers oppressed the people with, Jesus said it can all be summed up in just two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And by doing this, you fulfill all of the law and the prophets. All that the prophets were proclaiming throughout all the history of Israel, they were pointing to the one that was going to come. Jesus is the one who came. Jesus is the one. The scripture tells us that God made Jesus the heir to the throne. And an heir is simply defined the one that it's all coming to. The Father establishes His heir to His kingdom. That's Jesus, and gives all of the kingdom to Jesus. And Hebrews 2 tells us that Jesus is the heir to the kingdom. He is God. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There is no one else coming after Jesus. And we, the church, the believers who have received Him as our Savior and Messiah, we are the living witness to the rest of the world that Jesus is who He says He is. We are called for a purpose. When you love someone, you want to share the news about that person you love with others. When you were dating your spouse, or even when your grandchild was born, all you could talk about, all you could think about was that child or the one you were in love with. That's the way we should be about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be our very nature. That love should be bubbling up in us continuously. Yeah, Jack, but you can't do that all the time. What about all the pain that we suffer? What about when people deceive us or stab us in the back? I understand that is painful situations, but keeping our eyes on Jesus, as we're encouraged to in Hebrews, He experienced the same thing. The very ones that He created, the very world that He came to save, turned their back on Him, stabbed Him in the back. He knows everything that you're experiencing. And He's not demeaning it. He's not saying it's not painful. But He is saying, give it to me. I understand. This very time here on earth is temporary. There is a greater joy waiting. Don't waste your affections on the world. Don't waste your affections looking for something else to fulfill you. I am the giver of life. I am the one that will meet all your needs. And I am the one that will cause all things to work together for the good. If you love me, and if you allow yourself to be called by me, follow after me and receive life. Amen? Hallelujah. He alone is God. And most importantly, He alone can forgive sin and grant eternal life. None of these other religions of the world, false religions of the world, we'll call them, can guarantee you forgiveness of sin. They don't even acknowledge that you have sin. Or even the prophets of these false religions, they all died. We know where they're buried. However, Jesus Christ came and lived and died, but most importantly, lives again, rose from the dead, and is alive today forevermore. There is no grave where the bones of Jesus is laying. He is bodily resurrected, fully alive in heaven today. Hallelujah, church. Is that exciting? We are the only, God is the only living and true God. There are many voices vying for your attention, but only one is alive today, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lord, living, true God. As all the prophets of old were proclaiming about God, Jesus is God. As they were pointing to the one that would come, Jesus is the one who came to fulfill the law. This is a very important fact to remember and to hold on to. Jesus is the brightness and the glory of God, the scripture says. Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. In Jesus, we see exactly who God is. Everything that God is, we see in Jesus. The third verse in our text this morning says, He is the exact representation of God's nature and glory. The prophets of old were given the words of God. But Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God the Creator. Jesus is the sustainer of all that He created. Jesus is the true representation of the living God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is not being narrow-minded. This is being truthful. This is receiving the truth from the living God. God made it simple for us to understand, no matter how intelligent you are, or aren't in my case. Jesus, God made it simple. There is only one way, and that is through the salvation of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So what is the big deal about Jesus, as I said at the beginning? The big deal is that Jesus is everything. Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the sustainer of life. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yes, as the writers of Hebrews says, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth going all the way with Him. So church, I would encourage you, run the race that is set before you. Jesus is the victorious victor. Where are you this morning with Him? Are you running the race with Jesus as your focal point? Or are you running a race that's going to lead you off into defeat? Let's let today, let's let this morning be the morning to return to Jesus. Make Jesus your all in all. Don't live a lukewarm Christian life. Get on fire for Jesus. Be aglow with Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in your life so that the light may shine in a world of darkness and that those around you can see that Jesus lives in your heart. Amen? For we're called to be His witness. We're called for a purpose. And this is your purpose, church. This is your purpose. Follow hard after Jesus. Keep Jesus the center of your affections, of your attentions. If you experience hurt, if you experience doubt, leave it at the cross of Jesus. Allow Him to be the lifter of your head and say, I love you. I understand your pain. But allow me to heal you and restore you and give you life. For I have a purpose for you. I want you to share my love with those around you. That is our purpose, church. Our purpose is not to nitpick other denominations. As Pastor Mark weeks ago taught on, Jesus wanted us to be one as He is one with the Father. We all don't agree on so many things, but this one thing we do agree on, that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that Jesus is the one that can grant eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Let's let today be the day to return to Him, to be fired up for Him, to be excited once again that Jesus is our Lord. Amen? So as we close, allow me to pray. And let's just take a few moments this morning as I go over to the piano and cry out to Jesus. You are the one true God, Lord. You are the one that saves us from our sin, Lord. Help me to return to You and make You the center of my attention. Make You the focal point of my life, that I will follow You and listen to You as You lead me.
Jesus is all of those things. Unlike Jack, the carpenter, Harry, the engineer, knows that there's a fundamental understanding in science, and that is everything goes to a state of decay. Everything over time becomes unstructured, it corrodes, it. There is no word for the opposite of erode, right? Everything erodes, everything decays, everything goes to ashes, if you will. If you understand that, then you have to say, how did it all ever start? There is no mechanism for ever making things come together without some agent, something acting on it, to put it together, to give it energy, to give it life. That points you, and I think is the under meaning of the scripture that says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything around us declares that there is a creator. If you understand that, then you understand what this whole message Jack's been preaching about this morning. What's the big deal? The big deal is Jesus is the big deal. Because Jesus used, or I'm sorry, God the Father used Jesus to reveal himself to us. To show us the relationship he wanted to have with us. That's the big deal. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for including that way of salvation for us, to be restored in relationship to you, to bring your creation back to you. Indeed, Father God, you are creator of everything, and the heavens declare your glory and your majesty day in and day out. And Jesus, through being the exact representation of you, gave us that example of how you want to relate to us. Fully God, fully man, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. For it is by faith we live, and you have told us without faith it is impossible to please you. So help us to cling to that faith, to grow in it, to grow in our relationship to you through Jesus and his work on the cross for us. Give us a good week. Bring us back. Give us the refreshing. Just as Pastor Mark and his family are being refreshed at camp this week, pour out your spirit upon us this week and give us refreshing as we go about our week. For that, we will give you the glory, the honor, and come back to worship again next week. In Christ's name we pray it all. Amen. Have a good week.
What's the big deal, man?
Jesus is the big deal.
That's right.
Exclamation mark.
Thanks, brother.